Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan on the Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2. YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher the third. Across the foam marble table, Rashawn Taylor.
What up, though?
Across the glass, Jordan Schultz.
Hi there, everybody. A little poor this morning.
Oh, yeah?
That's okay.
Some college basketball betting?
Oh, you know it. Yeah, I got like six algorithms running on that.
Degenerate.
No. Damn Detroit Lions.
Degenerate.
Thought that I had something.
Rashad, I noticed in your beard you got some whites, some grays.
I got a few of them, bro. I'm officially getting old. They're in my hair. They're everywhere, well, almost everywhere. But yeah, man, I'm embracing it, man. I think a lot of people, you know, I'm only 41, right? And so I didn't know that this was late 30s, early 40s when guys start really going gray. Like I always thought it was a lot later. Like you equate gray with older man, right? 50, something like that. But I guess I'm, you know, much closer to 50 than I am 30 at this point. And so, man, I'm embracing it. I don't need any dyes. I'm not going to do the Just for Men hair and beard. I'm just going to...
Not going to do was it Ozzie Smith? Is he in those Just for Men commercials?
Yeah, man, nah, listen. Was. You know, Jerry Lewis was, what? How old was he when he died?
Like, Jerry Lewis? Close to 90.
And he had a full head of black hair. Like that's insane, you know. It's one of those things.
We buying that?
No, like, yeah, exactly. Lewis. Yeah, so I don't want to be that guy. Like my uncles,
he did have some dark hair.
My uncles are 62 and 64, right? And these dudes have full heads of black hair, and I'm like, stop. It's the midnight cocoa bean. Don't use the midnight cocoa bean anymore. Just let it go. It's okay. It's okay, fellas. It's cool to grow old. I think there's, for every one of these grays, there's an interesting story of my life that I can tell. So I'm all good.
Experience, right?
Exactly.
Well, the reason I brought it up is because I shaved all my face recently.
I remember. It was weird.
Yeah, and that will be the last time I ever do that.
I don't think any man should go barefaced. Unless you're in the service, I don't think any man should go barefaced.
It's not a good look, no. But before I shaved it,
Yankee.
I had noticed in my beard that I had about two or three grays in there as well.
And it was a humbling experience. It's been a humbling.
It freaks you out at first, right?
Yeah. It was definitely one of those where I'm like, oh my.
You just got to go like the two guys in the, I think, the favorite of mine iteration of the Just for Men commercials, Walt Clyde Frazier and Keith Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the rejected talking about like a guy with gray hair going up to a lady in the bar.
It was Walt Frazier I was thinking
your
of.
Your beard is weird. Just for Men. Your stash is trash. Yeah, I remember those commercials.
Yeah.
Those commercials were great.
Yeah, no play for Mr. Gray is, I think, what Walt Clyde said. So
no,
I'll never forget that commercial. But
that's wrong. That's wrong now. I know there are a lot of women that love a man with some salt and pepper.
I got salt in my hair. My dad, he had like a full head of gray by the time as long as I've known him my entire life. So I think, you know, that's early 30s. He must have had all gray by then. So it definitely shows up in my hair from time to time. But I mean, before the show started, I was telling Rashad also, like, what was making me feel old this weekend is my back. I need a backiotomy.
Need a backiotomy.
Yeah.
It was.
It's that's the one. Like, and it's not one of those like, oh yeah, I was running routes or I was playing basketball. My back went out. And like, no, it was literally Friday. When I got into work, I took my jacket out of the car and threw it over my shoulder. And the motion of me going, like, whipping it back to put it over my shoulder is just like, yeah!
The back is such a weird part of the body because, number one, you can't do anything without it. Like, every other part of your body, I can still function and be okay if it's messed up.
Well, if you
even my neck, even to an extent. But my back, like...
I think you need a few other body parts, you know?
Well,
if you don't have your... heart, you know.
Well, okay, like okay, extremities. Excuse me, you know what I mean? Like,
is a bat like is your is back an extremity?
I don't think a body part. That's why it's a body part.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's why it's a body part. You know, so but you can't do anything. I remember I had a back spasm in like seventh grade, and when I tell you it was the most debilitating thing, it was the most painful thing in my life. To this day, I would take the surgery over a back spasm. Like the surgery didn't hurt at all, like even a little bit. Doctors ask me, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah." Is it supposed to? What's supposed to hurt? Like the insides or the scar? Like I wasn't sure. Like everything was kind of fine on that front. A back spasm shuts down everything. It's your neck. It's your shoulders. It's all of your back. You can't move your. It's super crazy. So I can only imagine like playing golf, and you play a lot, Joe.
You do.
Like you play a lot. I don't know. You said you weren't running routes or anything. But damn, I don't know if there's anything more damaging to your back than getting hit by a football player or something like than hard swings and golf and stuff.
Yeah, you swinging that club too hard this weekend?
So it happened on Friday, the back, and, you know, took some leave and things were feeling fine. And I went to the range Friday. We'll say one of the best range sessions I've had in months. It was
sound like Tiger
Flu Game Joe. Listen to him.
The ball striking was just fantastic. Pause.
Oh, my back, not 100%, but damn, the ball felt good. Didn't
hey, I went in with a practice plan, and here's the thing: when you go to the driving range, it's a lot of people just go and they're like, "I'm going to work on this," and then it just turns into a ball like just hitting balls,
a wallop.
Like
session.
you don't really
You're not concentrating on where. You're not really trying to hit it anywhere specifically anymore. You're just.
Whammy!
Exactly. The practice session lasts for about the first 5-10 balls, and then you just start. You're like, let me pull out the driver here.
Yeah.
But no, I went in with a plan. When the alignment sticks come out of the bag, that's how you know real practice is happening. But yeah, it was fine Friday. And then Friday night, late night, Fisher got after it. I haven't stayed up that late in a long time. But
how
it was
late?
3:30.
Oh, rookie numbers.
Yeah, dude. I don't know about that.
I was up until
4:30 last night.
Yeah.
No, you weren't.
That was up until about 3 last night.
Why?
Huh? I'll tell you during our break.
Yeah, I need to hear this
I'll
story
tell you during
too.
The break.
Some bedroom wrestling?
Not necessarily. No.
But then
I haven't heard that in a while.
But then, so Friday night is all good. And then yesterday, I woke up and I was all right, you know, laid in the bed a little bit longer than normal. But then the girl and I went to walk and get some food. And on the walk back home is when I started feeling it. Like, pretty low moment taken away from my masculinity when I have to hand the bag of food to her to hold and carry home.
Was somebody's car messed up? Why would
no,
you
No, I mean, we just went, it was just right down the street from her house, you know? Oh, okay. Like, yeah, we just took a little jaunt, you know?
Italian lifestyle.
Got our steps in, you know?
Walk to the store and back. That's what you should do if you can.
But, yeah, on the way back, that's when it started really getting bad and, like, having to take a break, like, halfway through the walk. And then she brought out the Theragun at home and the heating pad. Like, it was bad. It wasn't good. Didn't stop me from playing some Golden Tee last night, though, at the bar.
Oh, it never does. It shouldn't. No. It shouldn't.
Got in many, many games.
Rule number 76. No excuses. Play like a champion.
Yeah. Got many games of Golden Tee in last night.
Yeah. Awesome. I've never been good at Golden Tee. I want to be. There's like tournaments at, I don't know how many different bars have Golden Tee tournaments and stuff like that. But I would love to get good at that game. That's one of the games. Like if I could have like maybe three arcade games just in the house, Golden Tee is definitely one.
$6,000.
Oh, I've looked it up. Yeah.
I was looking at, I went to their website last night to try and find what bar closest to me had Golden Tee.
Mm-hmm.
And as I Googled Golden Tee, it showed up on like the shopping section, like how much it cost to buy a Golden Tee.
Hell yes.
And it's, $6,000.
Damn.
I was like, hey, not a bad investment.
Might be able to find one cheaper on eBay.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, Costco will have them in no time.
Exactly.
See, there's got to be a smaller version or something that, like, is.
No, I need the full thing. Like, I know the smaller version you're talking about. Like, yeah. What's the one, the kind of the mini joints?
The Midway. Like, they'll put NFL Blitz on there, other old arcade games. Yeah.
You can get the little stand for it and everything like that, but. Yeah.
Now the legit Golden Tee, the Golden Tee PGA Tour Clubhouse Deluxe Edition. I'm looking at right now on the PGA Tour Superstore, $6,599.
It's maybe worth the investment.
That's not bad though.
No,
that's not bad. And if you want to be a cheap ass about it and charge people 25 cents to 50 cents to play it, like
you could eventually get your money back.
Yeah, you really could.
My my buddy, he had a moment yesterday where like the wheel like accidentally hit the ball, so it went like a foot forward and counted as a stroke. And he's just like, "Oh, dude, what the hell?" And I was like, "I'm pretty sure you can take a mulligan." So he goes to the menu. They wanted 25 cents for a mulligan.
Are you serious?
I'm like, Golden Tee, you bastards.
Do you remember playing NBA Jam or Blitz and you only play for a quarter and then the game is over unless you put another quarter or another 50 cent in? So it costs like $3 to play the game sometime?
I was at Ground Control Arcade last night for a friend's birthday and literally played NBA Jam and could not like laugh harder, I think, when we got to the end of the first quarter. And he's heating up. Yeah, he's on fire. 2 minute
quarter and then it's over.
Yeah,
it's
like, 2 minutes, you're done.
What are you talking about?
Add another 2 credits, bitch.
I remember it was at the Nintendo Classic. We had that as a family where you had to blow on the cartridges.
The greatest system ever made.
I had a football game. It wasn't Madden because they weren't making it by that point, but I could never finish a full game because something would happen with the Nintendo Classic where the cartridge would like pop up on accident or something would happen where the game ended up getting, you know, frozen. And I remember one time I'm in like the third quarter, like halfway through the third quarter. I'm like, dude, I might actually get through a full game here. And my sister put her like cup of water or it was like a smoothie. Uh-oh. She was drinking something and she set it on the Nintendo Classic. That was enough. That contact of like setting something on it was enough to make the cartridge pop up. And
jeez.
Oh, I lost it. I major crash out on me from that moment.
Oh, that's, I mean, and especially in the days.
I was so close.
In the days of not being
game.
Able to save games. Like the one downside to the classic Nintendo is there was no memory card or there was no anything. It was just a wrap. Like, so you can make it as far as you've ever made it on Mario. You're on level 6 and it's time for bed or whatever. If you were smart, like I'm sure a lot of us were, you put something in front of the red power dot that's on, and this way you can come home from school or something like that, and as long as your mom hasn't been in your room doing stuff, man, you're right back where you started. Like, that's the one cool part about Nintendo. But, yeah, those games weren't made to be finished, I don't think.
No.
I think they were supposed to. I think it would take, and, you know, I'm sure somebody on the text line knows how long it actually takes to beat Zelda.
Ooh.
Like sitting
the,
up
the
through
gold the one?
Yeah, like sitting up through
the Ocarina of Time, the long
no,
one?
No, the original Legend of Zelda. Like
oh,
the first,
back on,
yeah,
like, the NES.
On NES.
Nintendo,
like,
yeah.
You know, without being able to save, I'm sure that took 4 or 5 hours. to complete.
At least. I would think that that was one of the things they could shove a few.
And you'd have to be,
and
I'm talking about a gamer, like a great gamer, knows exactly what to do, all the secret levels, all the, you know, 4 hours maybe? Like, because by the time we all knew how to beat Mario, I think we all did it within like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think the game, it was NES Play Action Football is what it was called.
Hell yes.
But yeah, I remember.
Hut, hike.
Yeah, it, just a very frustrating moment when my sister did that. It was almost as if she like knew.
She did it on purpose.
Yeah, like she was like, this shouldn't mess it up, but there's a chance it's going to. So let's find out.
The next time you guys just happen to be around each other and she's watching something cool, Vanderpump or something, whatever it is, just
below deck.
Just accidentally go, oh, I'm sorry. Is this the power button? Is this what this?
This is
does?
For the, yeah. This is for the NES football game you ruined. Yeah. Also,
how's it feel?
That does remind me. I still hold against them the carton of chocolate milk that they drank like 20 years ago at the house. My dad never bought chocolate milk. It was like just one random day he bought some chocolate milk and I never got one
what
drink
a delicacy.
Of it. Yeah, right? It was one of those like, oh my God.
Especially in the 90s
milk?
And stuff like that. Like,
I'm like, what? What's going on? Did you get a raise?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You get a promotion?
Remember the milkman back in those days? I miss the milkman.
The milkman.
Like, you had a milkman?
Like actual. We all had milkmen back in the 90s when we were kids.
I definitely hadn't.
I don't think
there was no milkman showing up on
milkman.
Yeah, no milkman showing up on Nez Pierce Court in Tualatin.
Well, they were available. I guess
would have been cool, but
it was something else. I miss like the farm fresh like delivery of stuff. Like and yeah, now
fresh from the udder.
Yes, now you can get like Uber Eats, but it just ain't the same.
Yeah. No,
but no, I'll hold it against my sister still to this day. It's like you guys drank that whole chocolate
didn't
milk carton,
offer you any.
And I didn't get one single drink. I came home from school hoping to get some of that chocolate milk, and it was already gone. And I
thought about it. Is it school? It's like, oh, I can't wait to get home and get that chocolate milk.
And I don't know what happened. Like I don't think that chocolate milk ended up. And it lasted a day in our fridge before it was gone.
It used to. Now I think there's still chocolate milk in my refrigerator because my son loves it.
Still waiting for them to, someday show up to a holiday, Christmas party, something like that, and have a chocolate milk in hand and be
for
like,
you.
"Yeah,
this
here
is
you
for
go.
You.
Here it is, buddy."
All there's some pretty good chocolate milks now too.
Oh, Trader Joe's, that is an underrated one. Go get the Trader Joe's chocolate milk. It's like you died and went to heaven.
New Seasons has one that's in the glass bottle.
Yes, that's actually almost
legit.
Better than the Trader
Joe's. Nesquik.
Oh man, that's
Quick
goated,
classic.
Man.
Yeah, my buddy.
I'm a syrup guy
though. All the time.
I'm a syrup guy though. You know, a little syrup in the milk and stir it up. Like that's me all day.
Give me the Costco powder because the big old Nesquik at Costco is what like $8.90 or $9 or something like that. So you get it for a while and it's a little cheap.
Football?
Why not?
No more chocolate milk.
More chocolate milk talk.
I mean, we can. There's just, I can.
I don't want to talk
go on
about
for
the
days
Lions.
And days.
Yeah, I mean. Listen, the Detroit Lions Washington Commanders game. We're gonna have to lead off with that. We obviously also had the Chiefs Texans game. We have two more games today. We have a national championship tomorrow.
What a weekend!
Woo!
A national championship on
a
holiday
a weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
And an inauguration tomorrow.
This is what Super Bowl should be.
Okay.
Oh, what? No.
What?
Nobody?
Anybody get in on that Trump meme coin?
All I hope is that whoever wins the national championship and they go to the White House that we get another fast food feast. That was one of the funnier moments during the first presidential term of Donald Trump is when Clemson went to the White House and
they had McDonald's.
Instead of a nice meal that's provided by, I don't know, the president of our country, it's like, just get him Taco Bell.
Have what you always have.
Well, they'll be fine with some Mickey D's. I love the Filet-O-Fish.
We've got some Big Macs. Yeah. You see the spread here. The chicken nuggets, I might just dip it a little bit in the honey mustard. Yeah. God.
Man, jeez.
It's the most American thing there is, fast food. People who say. But yeah, let's talk about the Commanders-Lions game, because as far as the most surprising outcome of the two games yesterday, that was definitely it. We get to that next here, Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor across the table, Jordan Schultz across the glass. This is Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Talking about that upside down pineapple life in the commercial break.
Put your keys in this.
I almost said a swear word just now.
Oh, wow, there's beds and everything.
There's so many things.
Little chocolates on there. Is that what those are?
No, those are not chocolates.
Oh, those, yeah. Okay, never mind.
No, they put mints on the pillow here and everything.
Oh, thank you for the complimentary weight.
Man, imagine having to sanitize that place. Oh, wow, there's some thing. Oh.
They got stuff.
You see that?
Yeah, they got stuff.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Definitely got stuff.
Shout out the velvet rope. My God.
Yeah, man. It's a... Heard there's a lot going on in there, man.
And shout out the Washington Commanders. Left hand up. Who are we? Go Commanders. And now that leaves the lonely Dallas Cowboys as the NFC team that has gone the longest without an NFC championship game appearance. So
go Cowboys.
Let me make this segment about the Cowboys.
It's not too late for you to find a new squad, man. Like I think given the way you've been a loyal soldier for your Cowboys, man, through thick and thin. I think it's okay to leave an abusive relationship.
Not when it comes to sports fandom. I'm not a Jason Swigard. All right. Listen, I'm sure there were Washington fans just a few years ago that are like, man, I can't do it anymore. Listen,
me and the Patriots are.
Dan Snyder is a terrible owner. I can't
right
do
now.
This.
Me and the Patriots are on a break.
Stop.
Right now.
Me
and the Blazers are on a break right
well, that's
now.
That's understandable.
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things. Me and the Patriots and the Blazers, we're on a break right now just because I'm going to be back to the Patriots. They just did some stupid stuff for right now. But the Blazers, like, we're not talking for a minute. I'm moving on.
But if you're a Commanders fan, congratulations.
You're loving life.
Yeah. I mean,
they were broke up for a while too, though.
That's what I'm, saying, is that
if, broke up with them for a minute too.
So, you know, then if trends continue, then just give me 2 years and the Cowboys will be in the NFC championship.
I mean,
game,
it's not,
right?
It's not impossible.
No.
As long as Jerry's your owner, I don't think anything good's going to happen. But,
owner slash GM slash think, head coach, and Jerry
I think
Jones.
And I think that's the thing. Washington wasn't ish for a long time because their owner just wasn't ish and made stupid decisions, both, you know, from a civil rights standpoint and from a football standpoint.
Just from a just human standpoint.
Consistent bad decisions. Over the last couple of years, you've seen this Commanders team make great decisions. Hiring Dan Quinn, a great decision. Going out and getting Cliff Kingsbury, great decision. Drafting the Heisman winner, great decision. Over and over and over and over again. And now, here they are with arguably the best rookie quarterback that we've ever seen. Is he the best rookie quarterback we've ever seen?
I want to say that, yes, Bob. I'll say it. Best rookie quarterback of all time. Now, granted, that is just a one-season sample size because it only applies to your rookie year.
No,
so
it does.
We'll see. I mean, I can't ever remember a rookie having this much success. Has there ever been a rookie
last year,
quarterback?
Stroud, C.J. Stroud.
I know, but I mean, he's one-upped them.
I'm saying, yeah, like last year, that was the only time I can really think of. I think RG3 had a really good rookie year. Ben Roethlisberger had an amazing rookie year. He went undefeated for, like, up until he got to the playoffs, I think it was.
I think Cam Newton had a pretty good rookie year, too.
Yeah, so there's guys out here that had, you know, Tim Tebow's rookie year wasn't terrible, you know. So there's guys that have had great rookie years. No, seriously.
But no rookie quarterback has ever started in the Super Bowl. There have been a few.
Only on Madden.
There have been a few that have gone to the conference championship game. Brock Purdy, the most recent. Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco. Ben Roethlisberger and Sean King, but all five of those rookie quarterbacks.
Sean King, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
God, I forgot, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Hey, can I just poke the Cowboys bear a little bit more? I'm pretty sure Dak Prescott had a really good rookie season.
Dak had an amazing rookie year.
Yeah,
he did.
But he sucks.
I think that's the
well,
thing.
Well, like, wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, actually.
And I think that's the thing. Like, if you look at CJ Stroud's second year, was good, but obviously not as good as his first year, just because I think once they got a year worth of tape on you, it's a little bit tougher for you to go out there and do some of those things over and over again. I think that's why Patty Mahomes is so awesome, because, you know, after his first year, like, he came out and did it again and then did it again. And then this is his worst statistical year this year, and they're damn near undefeated. So It's kind of one of those things, like, it's not necessarily about what you do as a rookie, but how you continue to get better after everybody knows what you're doing. But you're looking at a guy in Jaden Daniels, like, I don't give a F what the numbers say. I don't give a F what history says. Like, I'm here to win. He made some amazing throws, like 10-year veteran throws in that game yesterday.
I believe it was also, saw a little stat on the graphic during the game last night that the first time in history a rookie quarterback has had two playoff games where they account for over 300 total yards. So at one point he had over 250 passing yards and over 50 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's done that now in back-to-back games. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely wild that the Commanders were the season alone that they had, but going into Detroit, I mean, probably with the second or third best Super Bowl odds, and not just winning, not just skating by, not just squeaking by, dominating.
Yeah.
Like, two on touchdowns. Both sides of the ball. Yeah, a two-touchdown, 45-31 victory. You had a defensive touchdown in there. You were able to force four turnovers. I mean, one of those should not have been a turnover because Jameson Williams, baby, what are you doing? Let's just.
Oh, baby, no. What you doing?
If you're not a quarterback and you're having to throw the ball and your guy is covered, just throw it out of bounds. Like, you're not that guy.
Run, take a sack, do something.
Yeah,
other than
don't
that.
Throw like, it.
Yeah.
But let's not take away, I told Joe this before the show, I am renaming Jared Goff to Interception Goff. That is now his new first name. He needs to go down to the courthouse to get that officialized. But he is now Interception Goff, or Turnover Goff, I think is actually what I said, for the rest of his career. Because a fumble and three picks in the semis is
two picks for Jared Goff. All right. The third one was Jameson Williams.
Yeah, buddy. All right, fine. So three turnovers out of four that were his fault, right? He fumbled and he turned it over through the air. That is unacceptable for a veteran quarterback.
He looked like he was back in St. Louis. Yeesh. That's what it looked like. It was pretty nasty to see.
Did he ever play for St. Louis, or were they already the L.A. Rams?
I think that was actually his first. Yeah, it was the first season in L.A.
The Rams have been in L.A. for, what, 5 years now? So this is his ninth?
No, I'm fairly sure that that was like Jeff Fisher taking them in. It was Jared Goff's rookie season to the Los Angeles area. Let me see here.
Was
yeah.
It?
L.A. Rams, 2016.
Yeah. Wow. It was never
been
St.
There
Louis.
Since 2016?
No. Yeah.
Wow. Well, forgive me. It looks like he did when he was in L.A. for those few years before they traded him for Matt Stafford. Like, he didn't look like the confident Jared Goff that we've seen over the last couple of years.
I mean, the Lions just didn't look like the Lions we've seen over the last couple of years.
No,
I mean, it was just...
They did for a while. That first half, we can't forget, like, the wheels kind of fell off in the second half for the Lions. But in the first half, it was back and forth. They made that mistake, that fumble that you talked about.
Well, the pick six, that happened in the first half also. That made
it still close.
24-14, I want to say.
And it was still a close game going into the half. And it was like, okay, was it a 10-point lead? I can't really
I believe so.
Remember.
I think it was either 31-21 or 27-17, one of the two.
Yeah, so it was still, 31-21. So 10-point game, you still got a chance to come out there and do it. You score in the third quarter, closer game, and then fourth quarter, they just couldn't stop making mistakes. And I think sometimes that gets in teams' heads, when you tell them, man, you can't make mistakes, you can't do this, and you go out there and make all the mistakes.
But also, I mean, that goes on the team, but Dan Campbell, and he took the blame for this. You have a 4th-and-2 deep in the red zone, and you have 12 men on the field, and give them an automatic first down. Like, that is just like, when that happened, you're just like, dude, you're...
It's inexcusable.
It's like, come on. Like, this is... Your season is on the line, and... You already gave up a 4th down in this drive to begin with. And so Washington is going for it on 4th down again in this drive. And it's like, all right, here's your chance. If you stop them, then you can go and tie this game up. You can take it, like, you can get it back. And then you have 12 men on the effing field. Like, that is
mental mistakes. There's nothing you can say about that. Like,
at that point, when they called that, I was just like, all right. I was like, this is done. Because now they're going to score, and sure enough, they score. And I was like, that's what you get.
And here's what's crazy for me. I've never understood 12 men on the field. I've never understood how somebody can make that mistake. You know you're not a part of this play. Like, it's different if it's like if somebody's hurt or something like that, or you're sharing snaps and everything like that. But in most cases, bro, you know you're not a part of this play. Why are you on the field right now? Unless, like, somebody was hurt and they didn't tell somebody that, like, I'm going back in the game, and so they got back in there. But once you get there and find somebody's in your position, oh, shoot, I'm not in this play. Let me get off the field. So I figured somebody would know once they're both lined up in the exact same spot. Like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here right now. So 12 men on the field always kind of confused me. It's like how that mental mistake happens.
Well, and I can't remember at that point. Can't you burn a timeout, too, if you need to?
Possibly. I think there's a certain point
where you're not allowed to call it.
Yeah,
so I think that's what I'm thinking about.
Or when the refs called the penalty,
exactly.
So it was just too late for them to do that.
Well, the coaches need to be on top of that, too. It's like Rashad asking, how can the players themselves? I always lean on, okay, who the hell is organizing this? And that's where you look to. It's like, well, somebody on the coaching staff screwed that one up.
Well, and then, so at that point, it's 38-28, and then the next drive is when you have the Jameson Williams interception, the receiver pass, where I was thinking, because who the receiver coach for the Lions is, Rashad? Antoine Randall-Ell.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So something tells me that he got in on the headset, and he's like, you guys.
Let's run the play that we practice, guys.
Here
we go.
You know what's worked for me pretty well in the playoffs?
Annexation of Puerto Rico, guys. Let's go.
I have a little bit of history running this wide receiver pass. I think you guys should give that a try.
Well, why not put it in there? I think it was a good idea.
Also, Jameson Williams with his touchdown. I don't know if you saw his touchdown celebration.
I kind of did.
Oh, my God. He was just... He was giving the three pumps to the ground. Like, he was straight up humping the ground.
Doing some crybaby? Doing the crybaby?
Jahmyr Gibbs and I think it was Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, sprinted over to him and like pulled him up, like, bro, do not.
Yeah, don't ever do that ever again. That's not a good one.
It's like, yeah, Jesus.
I gotta check it out. It sounds like he might have been doing the crybaby or something. But it was honestly, the second half was a disappointing effort. Like, I understand, like, the fumble happened. I totally thought that the Lions were going to come back in the second half and make it their game. Then they scored in the third, and it was like, okay, here they go. This is gonna be where the Lions kind of take over and ultimately pull this game out. And the rookie quarterback said not to be, and he had a great game. He's continued to have great games in the playoffs so far on his way to the NFC Championship. I don't know, man. Like, I think Washington could go to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, considering the way they've played over the last couple of games and really over the course of the season, the Commanders could end up in the Super Bowl this year.
Well, the NFC, it's going to be represented by one of three teams, and that is the Washington Commanders, the Los Angeles Rams, or the Philadelphia Eagles. And let's talk about that next, since we're talking NFC. Let's talk about the matchup that is today that will decide the other team in the NFC Conference Championship game. We do that next, but first, Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update. The NFC Conference Championship game is going to have the Washington Commanders. My God, what year is it?
Man.
Hey, can we put some respect on Mike Sainristil's name, by the way?
Who?
Sainristil, the dude picked off Jared Goff twice last night.
That pick
at the end of the first half.
The hell is that?
I'm like, well, who are you talking about? Oh, you know, just the NFL player that had an amazing game yesterday, career game.
Dude,
I just recognize him as DB number one.
No, number zero, actually, is the guy that I'm talking about. But he literally helped the Lions, or the Commanders beat the Lions in that win. But it's pretty crazy that he was able to pick Jared Goff off twice. But I think if you look at the pick
because Jameson Williams threw.
You're right. Okay, sorry. Picked him off one time, but that pick that he did actually get off of Goff, just kind of eyeing exactly where that ball was going. It was supposed to go over the top at the back of the end zone. Like, that was a pretty good play drawn up by Ben Johnson, right? But no, Sainristil had something else to say about it, and it just like, whoop, snuck in like a little old Chris Berman. I gotta say, not sure that one is Goff's fault either.
I got a text here on the Vancouver Forward text line. You guys need to wake up and reconsider what you're doing for a living, because you aren't good at doing this. The Lions beat themselves, not the Commanders. Hey, listen, Daniel, I understand it sucks when your favorite team loses in the playoffs, you know. So I understand the anger that you have in that text. It's okay. But also, I do want to point out that pretty sure the Commanders sacked and forced that fumble on Jared Goff.
That's what happened.
I don't think Jared Goff just took the hike and then set the ball on the turf to give to the Commanders. As Jordan just mentioned, pretty sure the Commanders also picked off Jared Goff twice, one of those at the end of the game. You know, Jameson Williams, yeah, he did throw that pass, but also it could have been incomplete. It could have been dropped, and he made a play and intercepted the pass. So while the Lions gave the Commanders opportunities, the Lions were there for a reason, because they're really good, and the Commanders played a better game than them. I'm, again, sorry. I can tell in the text someone had a little bit too much money on the Lions in last night's game.
I mean, when you get sacked twice and you throw two, three interceptions, you know, we're going to say it says three in the stat sheet.
No,
but it's two.
It says three, yeah, and then Jameson Williams got
two.
His own.
Yeah,
Goff has three.
Yeah, so, you know, it's you had a bad game. Yes, you're absolutely right, but I think it's important to make sure you know that you have a quarterback that was able to scramble on you and get yards when he needed to. You
had 51 yards at that.
You had a running back and Brian Robinson, who it seemed like, whenever he wanted, got 7, 8, 9, 8 yards, you know, off rip every single time he got the ball, for the most part, and with strong runs too. So I understand, like, saying that the Lions, they did their part in making sure they could lose that game, but let's not act like the Commanders just showed up and the interceptions just fell in their lap and the sacks just happened to, Jared Goff fell on the ground and they just touched him for a sack. Like, that's not what happened. Like, they got their ass whooped.
That Jaden Daniels threw 300 yards passing on zero coverage. Like, he dropped a dime into, I think it was Brown's hands at one point near the goal line. I mean, Terry McLaurin literally outran the Lions defense on that, 58-yard screen pass where he split the two defenders and then outran a dude. I mean, the Commanders won that game. That was not a Lions loss this game. That, you know, there are games like that that happen where you're like, oh, man, the Lions, they should have won that. No. They shouldn't have, because Commanders were clearly the better team all game.
Yeah, my buddy Mike is a Lions fan. Sorry, Mike. I know it was a tough that loss. Sucks. You know, I was going to hang out with him yesterday, and I was like, he's probably pissed right now.
Yeah.
He's probably pissed.
Hey, let's not forget, too, that, like I said last segment, quarterback wins and losses, not necessarily exactly like the stat that I think people should look at.
Well, so, if it's Justin Herbert, Rashad would beg to differ on that.
Well, I think Rashad knows that he doesn't have a wide receiver other than Ladd McConkey to throw to this season. And, you know, they've been leading on a running game, and Justin Herbert basically has been trying to do it himself. You know, not getting sacked. They got a good offensive line, but nobody to throw it to. Anyways, the Commanders have a lot of guys. Like, they got Terry McLaurin that busted out this year. Dudes, De'Ami Brown, he's kind of somebody that was just like mid all season and then has this 100-yard receiving game. You got Zach Ertz, a great tight end. Austin Eckler, the veteran, backing up Brian Robinson Jr. Like, they've got weapons. So, yes, Jaden Daniels, best rookie quarterback ever. But this collection of guys, and then coached by Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he's working some magic with what he's got.
Yeah, again, this team, the Commanders went out and won that game. It was not fluky.
Yeah,
it was
a 3-point loss, or, you know, they lost by 7 and then they drove at the end and they got some back. Now, if we're talking about the Chiefs, you know what I'm saying? That's a whole different story as far as how that game went. That took a lot of help from a lot of referees, per usual. But
the
this
Pat
wasn't
Mahomes
one of those
making
things.
Out with the referee meme is just clutch.
But this wasn't one of those things. Like, the Commanders deserve that win. They went out there and they played better top to bottom, offensively and defensively. There's really not much to say about it. So,
well,
sorry.
For the sake of getting back on the clock, let's take a break and talk about who they could face, the Rams or the Eagles, because I want to do the AFC at the top of the hour, an hour or two, do the AFC breakdown, and then also the national championship game. So take a break, come back with Rams v. Eagles, the other NFC divisional round game here today. Do that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. So the Commanders are going to be taking on either the Rams or the Eagles. That is the other NFC divisional game today at noon. That is on NBC or the Cock. You can watch that. Man, I mean, two very different performances from these teams in the wild card round. The Eagles with one of the more underwhelming victories in a playoff game that I can remember. I mean, that was my nap game right there. That was, I tuned in for maybe the first quarter and a half against the Packers, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what's going on here, but I think this is a good time to catch some Z's. And then when I woke back up, drifted back into consciousness, I think they were only up 16-10 at that point in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh my God, what is happening with it? The Eagles are one of the weirdest teams in the sense that you are, 14-3 in the regular season. But I have little faith in them outside of Saquon Barkley.
Listen to the Cowboys fan over here.
Hey, I took Hey, I took them to win the division and go to the NFC Championship game, all right? So I have a bit of rooting interest to for the sake of just being right, because who doesn't want to be right? But also, when I watch this team, they're just funky. They're weird. Jalen Hurts is one of the most overhyped quarterbacks in the league. And if it's not Saquon Barkley running for a $150, $175, like, this team has little chance for winning. And then the Rams, I mean, you literally got their best defensive performance of the season last week against the Vikings, seemingly. I'd have to go back and look at if there was a better game that they've played. Maybe Jordan knows, because he's our resident Rams fan.
I mean,
9 sacks, though, for God's sakes.
Dude, it's pretty crazy to see after the season where, Aaron Donald's gone, they're going to have to replace a lot. Well, look who arrives in verse on the defensive line. They've got still a really great defense. It's kind of shocking.
Braden Fisk, too.
Oh, Fisk is also good. I mean, nobody thought that they were going to be where they were, but because of Fisk, because of Verse, obviously the weapons on the offensive side of the ball are still pretty, you know, pretty stout besides an injured Cooper Kupp. Like, they actually, and Matt Stafford's still playing like he's 32, 33 instead of 36. They actually have a chance to get to the NFC Championship, and I don't think they're going to do so well in cold weather, but like, this is, for me, I'm just happy that they're here. They're playing with house money at this point.
No, I don't think any of us really expected the Rams to be the team from the NFC West that we expected to see here in the at this point in the season. I don't think any of us really thought that. I think, I don't know, was it Seattle that I had my money on to win this whole thing?
I thought we all picked San Francisco.
Yeah, we all picked San Francisco. Either way, it definitely wasn't the Rams. And you're right, man, without Aaron Donald there, they figured out their defensive identity. Like, that was supposed to be the end of that great defense, you know, led by the Lawrence Taylor of, you know, this generation. And they've been able to answer the bell, you know. But I also, I'm kind of with you, Jordan, like freezing rain in Philly, like, I don't like that for this Rams team. But like I was just telling Joe, what the hell do we really know? Nothing. There's no way Detroit's supposed to lose that game yesterday. Like, all of us definitely picked Detroit to go to the Super Bowl. I think most of us had them in the Super Bowl, right? Or close to the Super Bowl. No, you didn't.
Least I had him in the Super Bowl. We all three had him. Yeah. Had them in the
so
Super Bowl.
So what do any of us know? Every pundit, you know, yesterday picked them to win.
Hey, I was sitting here still, a couple weeks ago, I want to say, I was like, I can only see four teams winning the Super Bowl, and the Lions were the only team out of the NFC that had faith in winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, like, we really, you know nothing, you know, as fans. And I think, honestly, I think the reason Jalen Hurts has kind of taken, I don't want to say a step back, but when you get a Saquon Barkley, you feed Saquon Barkley. We don't need to do a bunch of play actions or a bunch of, you know, bootleg, whatever the case is. Like, I've got a guy who can make things happen on its own. Like, so I don't need to try to rush for 100 yards every game anymore. And I don't need to try to throw for 300 yards a game. I've got this beast that's going to be able to knock off 6-7 yards almost every single carry. Man, yeah. Like, I can take a step backwards. Like, you know, the difference is, like, there's Lamar Jackson. It's easy to say Jalen Hurts is weak now when you look at Lamar Jackson, who pretty much got the exact same luxury and getting a Derrick Henry this year. And his numbers are far better this year than they were last year. So it just kind of depends. But I think Jalen Hurts is playing within the system and he's not making mistakes. I think that's the best thing, you know, that's happening. He's not making a lot of mistakes. Doesn't mean he's throwing a lot of touchdowns or anything, but they're winning games. And I think that's ultimate. He is a great game manager. I think that's okay. I think considering his skill set, people think he should be more, but I think he is a great game manager for what that team is asking him to do.
Well, the Eagles and Rams have played before this season. The Eagles won on, I believe that was like a Monday night game in LA. They won 37-20. That was the Saquon Barkley 250-yard performance or whatever he had. Where he just ran all over the Rams. So that is at least some historical context for this game. But fun little note here with the Rams, outside of week 17 against the Seahawks, which, you know, it was a game they did play, but a little bit of context in that is that they already had the division locked up. They did give up 30 points in that game, but over the last 5 weeks, they have held their opponents, outside of that Seahawks game, every single opponent to less than 10 points. Mm. The 49ers, they won 12-6. They beat the Jets 19-9, beat the Cardinals 13-9. You had the Seahawks last game of the year. That was a 30-25 loss. But then last week in the playoffs, 27-9. So over the last 5 weeks, last month or so, basically since that Buffalo game when they gave up 42 points, this defense has been locking down their opponents and making them pedestrian. I mean, hell of a performance by them against the Vikings last week. I mean, you made Sam Darnold look like Jets Sam Darnold.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to get 9 sacks, that ties a playoff game record. I mean, this defense is looking very, very good right now. Yeah, it's one of those, like, what's something's got to give, right? Like, is this defense going to be able to have that same performance in Philadelphia when it's supposed to be 15, 20 degrees outside? And Philly, say what you want about the fans being absolutely terrible. Them as a collective at the link, 60, 70,000 strong, that's a tough place to play. So I am very intrigued to see what they're going to do to try and bottle up Saquon Barkley this time, because in that first matchup, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But again, what the hell do we know? Like, I think the Rams had a great game last week against Aaron Jones and Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, I think those are fine running backs, right? In fantasy, they're probably going to get you some points a couple weeks out of the year. But that's not Derrick Henry. That's not Lamar Jackson. They're going to have their hands full trying to stop those guys. I don't think Derrick Henry is going to be held to just 50 something yards like they did to Aaron Jones or like they did to Cam Akers. I don't think that's going to happen. And then I don't think they're going to hold Lamar to just 20 or 30 yards. But again, it's sports. What the hell do we know? But I think I'm honestly saying I think they're just kind of overmatched, man. I think this is Lamar's year, at least fingers crossed. I'm hoping this is Lamar's year. He's got to exercise his demon and not just win the Super Bowl. He's got to beat Patty Mahomes. He can win the Super Bowl, but it's not going to feel as good unless he beats Patrick Mahomes.
As far as the Eagles go, though, I mean, this game, I anticipate it's going to be close. The Eagles right now are 6.5-point favorite, I want to say. Yeah, 6.5-point. So they're saying this is going to be a one-possession game. I do think that Philly ends up pulling it out, though. Like, this team is one of those where even if they are playing a sloppy game, they somehow still figure it out. When they're playing their best, they are literally one of the best teams in the NFL. They're able to win by double digits, multiple possessions. Like, it's one of those teams where, sort of like the Chiefs in a sense, where it's like, gosh, if they were to play a complete game, they are unstoppable.
They really are.
They have one of the best rosters, top to bottom, both sides of the ball.
And they've been there. Like, they didn't win, but we know Philly has at least, you know, been there. And so if they can kind of put it all together right now, especially with this Saquon Barkley, this version of Saquon Barkley, who could have been the all-time leading rusher for a season, but was like, yeah, I'm good. Don't really need it, you know. So that was some Barry Sanders type stuff. I'm excited for this game, but I do think that 6 points in this weather, you know, running the ball, I think it's going to be – it could be a blowout.
Also just want to share a comment from Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions, after the game last night.
Oh, yes.
Commanders earned that win. Lions didn't.
You know what? That is why.
So, again, sorry that texter – 20, 30 minutes ago, but when the head coach of the team that lost is even saying, yeah, no, they definitely deserve that. We didn't. I think that speaks volumes. Also, another texter brought up this that I thought was pretty funny. Also, how many losing teams in history have a press conference after and go, we played perfect, made no mistakes, executed everything we wanted, and just lost? Of course, every team and plenty of fans think they beat themselves. Yeah, it's very rare, unless it's Will Howard that says, like, yeah, I don't think we lost a game this year. You know, I think we just beat ourselves.
Yeah. Well, the other team did score 45 points. So,
yeah, again, you clearly did something wrong, and they did something much right.
21-17, like, okay, maybe a few mistakes here and there.
I was saying to Rashad in the break, too, like, you know, on that trick play, like, it's a trick play because teams get tricked and there's usually a dude that gets left wide open. It goes for a big play. The Commanders, they played better than you on that play because they stayed at home. They saw what was happening and they didn't get fooled. And then, yeah, you made the mistake by throwing that ball. But guess what? There was a guy ready. There was a guy in position because he was ready for whatever you guys were throwing out there. That sounds like the Commanders played better, especially on that specific play, better than the Lions did.
Straight up.
Period.
I mean, the entire game. So, or at least the entire second half.
All right. Hour number two. Let's get over to the AFC side of things. We know who will be in the AFC championship game for now the seventh year in a row. The Kansas City Chiefs will be in the AFC championship game. Who are they going to play, though? The game of the weekend. Bills, Ravens, we'll get to that as well. And we got a national championship game to preview that is happening tomorrow. We do that next. Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here, 1080 Fan.
Whether you want to,
buy, buy, buy,
in a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell,
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.